whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's 5 o'clock.
And I'm rarely late.
This is Wildcard Week with Isaac and Suk.
Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Prime time with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
The Fan.
Thanks, Isaac. Yeah.
All right, welcome back to Sports Bros here. Rob and Suk.
Rob.
Big Suk's right over there.
Right.
We've got Ryan Buckley in the house, in the hizzy, as the kids say. Coming up here, we will talk about the college football playoff. We're not going to be here tomorrow because we've got Duck basketball to play, and then we've got the Penn State-Notre Dame game you'll hear.
Playoffs!
So we got to get into that game.
Yeah.
Dig into the playoff.
Got to talk about Notre Dame's names on their jersey.
What?
That's Notre Dame in this playoff has put names on their jerseys for the very first time.
Oh.
And it's a big deal.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, they've never had them before.
Including their player of Chinese descent who used Chinese characters
That's
on his jersey.
That's pretty badass. Yeah, they got a walk-on there who's Chinese, and he used the kanji on the on his back. It looks pretty cool. Notre Dame actually becoming somewhat likable for the first time ever.
Marcus Freeman helps with that, too.
He does.
Just wait.
Well, he's got the look. He's handsome. You know, he's a family man. You know, they look sharp, the gold domers. I can see why people are getting behind Notre Dame.
Just wait.
Wait till they win one.
No, there'll be a scandal. Something will happen.
Is it going to involve eggs? The price of eggs being controlled by the Catholic Church?
Well, I don't get a brain man comb, but
he makes me not want to root for Notre Dame.
Well, as Buck said the other day, I mean, you know, Penn State gets a lot of crap as... Yeah. They should for the Jerry Sandusky thing and the handling of it.
Yeah,
Catholic but how about Church? The Catholic Church?
Yeah, I know.
That runs a little deeper, don't you think, than one football coach?
Yeah, that's a little.
That's Notre Dame, dude.
Yeah, it's rough. Well, you know, it's the church. Do we know what happened on the Notre Dame campus? Can we try to find a way?
I don't know. A kid died in a scissor lift.
Well, I want to root for Notre Dame, but it's tough. It's tough. I have to root for someone.
I'm rooting for Penn State. Yeah. I actually kind of like that team.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Well, we'll talk about it.
Can't do it.
You're making me uncomfortable.
Time now for the Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, jolly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Suk. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victoricos.com.
No. Yeah. No. Strong no.
Number five.
Blazers Pels tonight in New Orleans.
Which... Whatever.
Zion Williamson back for the Pelicans, but he will not play in this game. He did score 22 in last night's loss to Minnesota.
He's out with excess gravy in his leg. I think he's back for one game, then he has to sit out again.
Yeah, I think they just don't want to play him on back-to-backs.
Sure.
But he'll be hurt again soon. You know, the Pelicans, sneaky in the Cooper Flagg sweepstakes. They kind of came out of nowhere in that thing.
Oh, yeah, there. Well, I mean, everyone was hurt for most of the season, but this is one of those, like, if they keep it together, watch next year. They get Cooper Flagg. Zion becomes not a fat ass. CJ's back at Ingram, and watch the Pelicans, like, hit the ground running.
Portland, quick turnaround. They visit a banged-up Mavericks team tomorrow. Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic both out. Big one tonight. We've got Oklahoma City and Cleveland. This is 30-5 against 31-4.
That's two teams in the league.
And right now, Oklahoma City has the one-point lead, 55-54, in Cleveland late second quarter.
I was watching it, but I moved on to Canucks and Capitals.
Is the TGL on tonight?
I think that's just Tuesdays.
Is it just Tuesdays? Boy, I'll tell you what, man. I tried. I attempted. I can't. The Tiger Woods thing.
I didn't even attempt.
Man.
Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts returns to practice. Now, he does remain in concussion protocol, but he's progressing towards playing on Sunday against Green Bay.
He's going to play.
He is going to play. They said that they cut Ian Book today. Mm-hmm. He's their fourth stringer, their practice squad quarterback, and that is a signal that all three quarterbacks, including Kenny Pickett, will be healthy for the wild card weekend.
Yeah, no, Zay Flowers did not practice the second straight day in Baltimore, and Jordan Love sat out, but says that
he'll give it a go.
He's going to give it a go, but he's not 100%.
Elbow injury, though.
Yeah, he's got an elbow.
No Watson and an elbow injury?
Yeah, it's just something to keep an eye on there, man. And, you know, his hurt's rusty, but they said he looked sharp today in practice.
I bet he didn't.
Yeah, what are you supposed to say? You going to say that he looked like crap?
Number three.
And also, for some reason, the Cowboys denied the Chicago Bears talking to Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, that was my next one. Cowboys deny the Bears. But
let him go.
That signals, well, they're not going to. I mean, what that signals is that there's an extension that's likely on the way for McCarthy. Teams are contacting Bill Belichick just a month into his tenure at North Carolina. One of them is Tom Brady and the Raiders.
Yeah.
Per a report, they recently spoke about what it would take to make a reunion happen in Vegas. Now, The Athletic has come out with a report that said Bill Belichick cannot be had. He is staying at North Carolina.
Well, also, too, that no one would give him full control of the NFL, and that's what he wants, despite to the contrary. Like, Bill's automatically going to go to the NFL and then start being like a real team player. It's not happening. This is interesting, though, that Tom Brady,
I can't even imagine,
reached out to him.
Brady would be his owner.
Yeah.
I don't think he could handle that.
Yeah. You wonder if Brady just wanted to do that just so he could kick him in the junk of
people. That's a lot of information, so.
Lions OC Ben Johnson plans to interview with the Patriots Friday. The Raiders have requested to speak with Chiefs defensive coordinator Steve Spagnuolo.
Johnson actually has four interviews set up, two on Friday, two on Saturday. And I know it's their bye week, but I'm telling you, keep an eye on that because both of their coordinators have multiple interviews lined up for head coaching jobs. And that stuff always scares me going into the postseason with eyes off the ball.
As expected, the Ducks are losing Jordan Birch to the NFL. Also, offensive lineman Josh Carnally is leaving for the league. Bryce Betcher, though, gets another year.
Yeah.
Will return.
So he's played 4 years of college baseball, 3 years of football, and everyone gets an extra year now. The NCAA is like, dude, whatever.
It's like the Oprah thing. You get another year. You get another year. You can transfer to another school.
Yeah, so they argued that because he only played 3 years of football and 4 years of baseball, he should get an extra year of football, not baseball. And the NCAA was like, fine, whatever.
So he's back. That's good.
Yeah, that's a big get because Boss is gone.
And their defense is going to have a ton of turnover.
Yes.
We also have former Wisconsin and Miami quarterback Tyler Van Dyke transferring again. He is now going to play at SMU.
Whatever.
Van Dimes, baby. Let's go.
He can sling it a little bit.
No, just go.
Please. You're so dismissive.
I am. When you have bad players that are trying to get for another year on their ninth team, just...
It's only his third team.
Go away.
And he got hurt at Miami.
Yeah.
So if he got hurt at Wisconsin, what's the problem at Wisconsin? Why wouldn't he just stay there?
No, he got hurt at Miami.
Last year, he was supposed to be Wisconsin's QB.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was first? Miami?
Miami.
Oh,
and then he went to Wisconsin, and he play most of this year because he tore his ACL at the second week.
I don't know.
I forget who the quarterback was when Oregon played him, but
he wasn't good.
That kid was terrible.
Look, he probably got offered a bunch of money to go to SMU. And he took it. I don't blame him for that.
And SMU has too much money if they're giving Van Dyke money.
Sixth season for Van Dimes.
Sure, why not?
He's going to win the Heisman. And I'm going to laugh at you.
I don't think he is. I bet
Wildfires.
He doesn't even win that job.
Wildfires in the L.A. area could affect Monday's wildcard game between the Rams and Vikings. The league is monitoring now. There are three fires burning in the city, forcing evacuations of over 70,000 people, including anyone in or near the Rose Bowl. They said a date change for the game won't happen, but a venue change could, and they would move it to Arizona. They'd move it to Phoenix if they had to.
Yeah, it's scary stuff right now. I mean, Pacific Palisades, Malibu, I mean, it is, and stuff is just, it's getting eradicated. 100-mile-an-hour winds, right, kicking this thing up. It's bad stuff.
High Five Five brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door. At victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Who is going to win the college football playoff? We have the answer next on The Fan. Nice to have you along. It's time to talk some college football playoff. We will have the...
Cotton Bowl? You all right?
Not the Cotton Bowl. What's the Penn State-Notre Dame game?
Orange.
The Orange Bowl on The Fan tomorrow.
Oh,
after...
That's right. Texas, Ohio State's the Cotton Bowl.
After Oregon... avenges their playoff loss to Ohio State in basketball.
Everything will be made right tomorrow.
That's right. They're going to Columbus
yes.
for a big matchup.
The Lions' Den.
I don't know who coaches Ohio State anymore, but
Thad Matta's ghost.
Thad Matta, I saw him the other day. He coaches at
he's the last Ohio State coach I could name.
He was popping zins on the sideline, I saw.
Was he?
Yeah.
Thad Matta?
Uh-huh. Dude, everyone's popping zins now. Dan Lanning runs on zins.
Where was Matta? I could look it up, but it's more fun to just
Jake
sit here. Jake
Diebler, by the way.
Oh,
he played there,
hey,
right?
That's a former Blazer great, Jake Diebler.
The Diebler.
Don't you remember that? The Blazers drafted him.
Did they draft him?
Yes.
Thad Mata's only 57.
Okay. That's a weird statement.
Yeah,
like,
all right,
is that you think that seems?
I thought he would have been 67 or more. He seems old.
Okay. All right.
Do you want to know where he coaches? He's like guessing still.
God, I was just watching them. Where?
Butler.
Yeah, Butler. That's right. All right. Well, now that we covered that.
Yeah, we've got that out of the way. Whew. Thank God.
We've got Penn State, Notre Dame tomorrow, which is wild because what if I had told you that right after Notre Dame lost to Northern Illinois, What if I told you they'd be in the semifinals of the playoff?
No one would buy it. I mean, it took everyone about 6 weeks after that to be like, look at their schedule. Like, there is a path forward. Because everyone assumed that they were done after that. But, I mean, this is the new way of the college football playoff. In fact, I mean, the old system, Notre Dame would be gone with that loss. And Ohio State wouldn't even be in this thing either. And yet, both of them, I love the fact now that you can have a bad loss or you can take a while to get your feet underneath you and still end up here. How many times when we were watching the old system, you see a team like Stanford or SC or someone, or you know, someone in the SEC get hot at the end of the year, but they had two losses, and you're like, man, I just wish we'd get a chance to see if they were the best team. And I love that about the playoff.
I have a quick follow up.
What do you got?
Jake Diebler is not John Diebler.
Oh, that's who I was thinking of.
Yeah,
John Diebler was the one that was the.
He's the former Blazer.
Former Blazer.
Well,
related?
I don't think he played here much, but. I think the Blazers drafted him. I don't know. They called him Threebler.
I do remember a Diebler.
But that's a different guy. Jake
this guy
Diebler.
Played at Valpo.
Yeah. And John Diebler is with Thad Matta at Butler.
Oh. Well, look at that. The but, Diebler connection.
Yeah. Anyway. Hmm.
There's hot Diebler talk.
Yeah.
Who knew?
You got hot Diebler talk.
You needed Diebler talk.
Did you have that on the bingo card?
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
I don't think you did.
I didn't have it on mine.
I had a hunch that we were going to be talking about the Diebler.
Well, we will have our first black head coach to play for a title in college football history. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, yeah, because we got James Franklin and Marcus Freeman.
Black, please. Thank you. Marcus Freeman has a South Korean mom, but his father was African American. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, James Franklin. Do you know the first black basketball coach to win a title? You should know this.
The first black.
So no college football coach, no African American has ever won a college football title, but there's been several, but the first one in basketball was?
The first one that I go far back for is Nolan Richardson.
Yeah, but keep Arkansas. Going. Keep further going a little further.
A little further?
Yeah. The 80s.
Chaney never won one, did he?
No.
No, he never won one at Temple.
The great.
John Robinson?
John Thompson.
Or John Thompson.
John there you Thompson. Go. Georgetown.
Yeah. I was just trying to kind of bring my hand on it.
That was 40 years ago.
And how many have won? Did Nolan Richardson ever win one at Arkansas?
Yeah, they won. And then the guy, Kevin Ollie, won for UConn recently. Yeah. I'm trying to think of other. I'm just going off the top of my head. I don't have a list.
By the way, didn't Nolan Richardson recently die?
Yeah, he's very dead.
Is he?
I do think he is, yes.
I love how you're now back to, I think so.
I think he's dead, yeah.
No, still alive.
What?
83 years old.
Very dead, according to Isaac.
I thought he died.
I thought he died, too. I don't know why we both thought he died, but, you know, it turns out no.
So that was 40 years ago. John Thompson wins a basketball title. Yet in football, we won't even have a coach in top division coach for a title until 2025. Mm. That's really wild.
That is wild.
And the first black coach. So do you know who the first black football coach in top division college football was? And that was 45 years ago. So when John Thompson was winning a title as a black coach at Georgetown, the first black football coach was even being hired.
I'm trying to think, is it a name that I should know?
Probably not.
Probably not.
Actually, no chance.
Okay.
Well, Willie then. Jeffries from Wichita State, hired in 1979.
Zero chance I would have ever done.
Did not have Willie Jeffries on my bingo card.
I will tell you, though, I found it odd. In, I believe it was 1998. I don't know if they still have it, but they, you know, they do those kickoff games, you know, where they had like the, they used to, and I said, I don't know if they still call them this, but like back when I played, they had like the Pigskin Classic, the Kickoff Classic, those games, those early season neutral site games, they had names for them.
I think they call it the, don't they call it the Kickoff Classic now?
Well, I played in the Kickoff Classic. I played in the Pigskin Classic, and I played more importantly in the Black Coaches Association Kickoff Classic, which I thought was adorable because I played at
BYU.
BYU. Because nothing says Black coaches like BYU.
Maybe they're trying to get you guys some culture. Sending you down there.
We had one black coach, Brian Mitchell, who was our DB's coach. And when I pointed that out, he told me to go blank myself.
Well, I'd argue Deion Sanders has done a lot for black coaches. I mean, if you look at the former players that are now being hired because of his success.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson just got hired. Mike Vick. Yeah, Mike Vick. Ed Reed, they tried to, and then Ed Reed was like, no, because that, I forget where it was.
But Bethune-Cookman.
Yeah. Yeah, he has, Deion has tried to do a lot to raise awareness for the.
He's doing a good job.
Is it HBCUs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's, look, and we know with the Rooney Rule and the NFL and all that, and, you know, there's a reason why they, like, it's the tongue-in-cheek, but we call it Black Monday in the NFL, and they're like, a lot of times it is because black coaches, you know, there's the idea that, you know, Mayo and, you know, you get 1 year and you get canned.
Yeah.
And for a league that's 75 or 80% African-American, traditionally the coaches have not, that is not followed.
I think that rule, the Rooney Rule, I like it. I think it's important. At the same time, I just wonder how much of that helps.
Yeah.
Because I know guys get interviews because of it.
Yeah.
But come on, these old owners.
The notion that I've always heard is
it's still a good old boys network.
Is that even if it is a token interview, it gets coaches exposure. It gets them at least thinking about people. It makes you at least take a pause. So
interview experience too. Just you're more ready for the next one.
Yeah. And when your name is out there, consistently being thrown out there, that can cause people to think about you in a different light. But I do know that some coaches are insulted by it and then won't take them when they believe it's a token interview. So it's a controversial thing, but I'm with you. I think it's good that at least we're trying to address it. And someone does point out, and I do remember this, when Doug Williams was playing in the Super Bowl and someone asked him how long he had been a black quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, we are both young enough to remember.
That's a real thing.
People talking about NFL shows that blacks could not be quarterbacks.
Yep.
That
Jimmy the Greek got fired because of it.
Well, he got fired because he was talking about black athletes, but, you know, that wasn't
necessarily. Oh, no, it was Rush Limbaugh.
Yeah.
And he didn't get fired. They just took him off. For some reason, they had Rush Limbaugh doing sports.
I think Rush Limbaugh was doing like Monday Night Football. Was he not?
It was something. Yeah. He said something about Donovan McNabb.
Yeah.
And they pulled him off.
But I mean, there used to be a thing where blacks were
by
not.
By the way, does anyone miss Rush Limbaugh anywhere?
Presidential Medal of Freedom winner, Rush Limbaugh.
I mean, he's not missed at all.
No, he is not. Not by me.
This goes to show you that he meant nothing.
Very dead.
Yes, unlike Nolan Richardson, very dead. But isn't that amazing that, I mean, 30 years ago, that was still a real narrative, that you couldn't have an African-American playing quarterback.
Isn't that crazy
to
think about?
Yes. It's just, it's absurd. God forbid you want an athlete back there moving around. Really?
What do you think Rush Limbaugh would say about, well, he saw Lamar Jackson. He didn't die that long ago. What do you think Jimmy the Greek would say about Lamar Jackson?
I'm not going to say anything about that.
Move him to wide receiver.
I'm just going to sit here.
He'd point to Ty Thompson.
Looks like a great safety.
You see this Ty Thompson kid? See, this is my point.
They're moving him to tight end. You get it. They get it down at Tulane.
I mean, I remember in my youth, I remember guys like Doug Williams and Randall Cunningham and the crap they had to go through. And, you know, despite what people think, because I still hear some people that try to make that a thing. Dude, if you're a great quarterback, it doesn't matter anymore. I don't think anyone ever looked at Lamar Jackson and was like, I don't know. Oh,
yeah, they don't care if you're blue.
No, Can you sling the rock?
If you're good, they want to pay
you. Exactly. That used to not be a thing. And I am looking forward to the day where we don't have to hear that it's the first black quarterback, it's the first black coach. Hopefully we get to a point where
we're getting closer.
We're getting closer.
We're getting a lot more position coaches, I've noticed, in college football, black. You know, there's a lot of, unfortunately, the NFL is like ahead of college football in this regard in some ways. But in the position coach world or in the assistant coach world, a lot more African Americans now than in the last, over the last 10 or 15 years.
Well, it's going to take a while to turn around the battleship, but you're right. You get more position coaches lead to more coordinators, more coordinators lead to more head coaches. And then the next one is going to be obviously into GMs and front office positions. And then, you know, even now we're starting to see more women that are getting hired. Oregon's got a gal on their staff. The Kraken in the NHL, they just hired a woman to be one of the coaches on the bench. And so, you know, you're seeing more and more diversity across the ranks get in, and that is a good thing.
All right, let's get into Notre Dame, Penn State up next. But first, Buck Sports.
Every time, and then we're right into a sponsor read.
It's become pretty clear that I don't even need to come in. There's enough drops that you can just
there really is.
Do a show of me just saying random things.
They're just great.
Resourceful little bitch.
I still think the aloof might be my favorite one.
That was about
She is an aloof bitch.
That was about Jody Allen.
She won't even return his calls, you freaking bitch. What is up with that?
I was fired up that day.
Yeah, you were.
Freaking punch it, bitch.
Well, we've got Notre Dame, Penn State.
Yes, we do. Basically going to pick them, by the way, with like 1.5 points.
Yeah, this is an interesting game. I don't know what you think. I want to hear what you think. I know you've liked Notre Dame all along.
Yeah, I'm a Notre Dame guy this year.
A little more than me. I think that this is a game where the stars and studs, particularly on offense, I just think Penn State has more firepower.
Sure.
You know, like Notre Dame, they should be given a lot of credit for beating Georgia because Georgia's they were the bully. Like they were the king. But that win was a little wonky. One, Georgia didn't have a quarterback. And two, they had special teams points and points off of a turnover that gave them, the drive was like 13 yards.
Yeah.
So if you take those two away, which you shouldn't, but I'm just saying, Notre Dame's offense really didn't do that much.
Yeah.
And I think that Penn State, who has a much more capable quarterback and more weapons, you know, with Warren and the running backs, I just feel like Notre Dame is not going to be able to win this game just on their defense. And so then I look at Notre Dame's offense and I go, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, like Riley Leonard, like they cannot fall behind.
No.
I mean, they have got to win this game kind of one way. And I just feel like, I know people have been kind of sleeping on Penn State. And I get it. James Franklin hasn't won a lot of huge games like this. And so there's a lot of doubt there. But Notre Dame's banged up. Love, their running back, is hurt. I don't even know if he's going to play. I think they say he's going to try to play.
They said today that he's good to go. I mean, they're saying that.
He's wearing
really,
a big brace.
He's wearing a big brace.
Exactly.
And so that's obviously.
That's a huge one. And without him, what do you have? Like, is Riley Leonard going to suddenly sling it for like 350 yards? They haven't thrown for over 250 yards all year.
They have a second running back they like a little bit, but it's not the same as Love.
I don't know, man. I kind of like Penn State here, fella.
Yeah, I mean, I get where you're going. And the Love injury certainly scares the hell out of me. If he can't go, or certainly isn't 100%. And by the way, he's going to go out and play, but we see this all the time with running backs where, you know, they wear the brace, they're in practice, they're going through half speed drills, and then all of a sudden you get out there and you put your foot in the dirt and try to make an explosive cut, and you know, we'll see what happens.
It's one of those things where I think the betting lines can actually tell you a story. The prop bet for him rushing yards, 34.5.
Yeah.
So they don't think he's going to play very much.
No.
And or effectively.
Carter's playing too. Abdul Carter's playing.
I wonder if it's the same sort of thing. He's going to go. How effective he's going to be, we'll see. So you have some injuries on both sides. And by the way, Penn State, I don't think their offense is very explosive at all against better. I mean, they do not have outside weapons. Yes, they run the ball real well, and they have Warren, but their receiving core doesn't scare anyone. I certainly don't think it scares Notre Dame. And the reason I like Notre Dame going into this is they run the ball well, and they play defense. And those two things usually travel. Though, I mean, when you look at teams that are successful, and I mean, we're the only team. USC scored, I think, 35 on Notre Dame, but Notre Dame just doesn't give up points. And you can say all you want about the schedule they've played, but I mean, they gave up 17 to Indiana, they gave up 10 to Georgia, they gave up 13 to Texas A&M, 24 to Louisville.
Who was the first team you said?
The first one, Indiana, in the playoff.
Yeah.
They have 27-17, so they can choke you out.
I'm with you, but to me, this is the best offense that they will have faced because two reasons. One, I don't know. I was pretty impressed with Penn State's offense against Oregon.
Yeah.
I mean, Oregon,
Now we have to question the Oregon defense.
Well, I know Oregon's defense, the shine has come off of it, but at the same time, it was still a good defense. Okay, yeah. It wasn't elite, but it was a good defense. And that Penn State offense looked damn good. Mm-hmm. Drew Aller is going to be the best quarterback that Notre Dame will have seen.
And they can really run the ball with two good backs.
Exactly. And Tyler Warren. So I get it. I'm not saying they're like the best offense in the country, but they're pretty damn good. The other reason, though, I like this offense, and this is a little bit of a bias, but we talked to Dan Lanning about this when Oregon played Penn State, and that is their offensive coordinator, Andy Kotelnicki, mm-hmm. who came over from Kansas, has absolutely revamped Penn State's offense. And I kind of feel like with the extra rest, this is another thing, Penn State has extra rest over Notre Dame in this game. I kind of feel like this is one of those deals where that dude is going to be able to scheme something up because he is smart and he is really hard. His offenses are really difficult to prepare for. And I think that he may have time, a la the Chip Kelly thing. You know, like Anthony, I was listening to your guys' Ducks Roundtable the other night after I got past the 7-minute open. And Anthony Newman made a good point. He said, you know, Chip Kelly had been sitting there preparing for the next time he saw Oregon. Mm-hmm. For 2 months.
Since October. Yeah.
Yeah. And that matters when a coordinator like that can get extra time. Now, I'm not saying Kotelnicki's had 2 months. I'm just saying what you saw from Chip Kelly against Oregon was a guy who had been thinking about that and said, look, we're going balls to the walls. We're doing something different. I kind of feel like Penn State may do that here because they know Notre Dame's defense is really good. They kind of struggled with play calling and kind of got bogged down against Boise mm-hmm. State. So it may be one of those games where it's the extra rest where Kotelnicki says, dude, we're flinging it. We're going to do something that is going to blow them off the ball, at least initially. And I think that could be a factor for Penn State winning this game.
Absolutely. Look, I think this is a coin flip game. And maybe the difference is Drew Aller. When Drew Aller has it going a little bit, like he did against Oregon, Penn State is a different team. And Penn State does have two healthy backs right now, and they have the best tight end in the country. What scares me about Penn State is in big games, I do think they get bogged down. I watched that Boise State game. They got bogged down. I watched them against Illinois. They got bogged down. Watched them against Ohio State. They got bogged down. I mean, this just is kind of one of those reoccurring things for them. But, as you mentioned, against Oregon, you saw them come out and play gamebuster. So I guess it's just which version of that. And when I just look at Notre Dame, and I know Notre Dame has some injuries, this is the thing that scares me about Notre Dame is they've lost guys in the secondary, they've lost guys in the D line, and if they lose Love, if they lose their running back, is eventually do you just run out of bodies and it's a war of attrition. But I just love Notre Dame's ability to drag them into deep water and force Penn State to play in a close big game. Because can we be honest, James Franklin has had this thing at this level for a period of time now for the last couple of years where they're great against teams that they should beat. You know who they're not great against?
Oh,
equal
yeah.
opponents.
There's no question about that.
And that just scares the daylights out of me that this is that Notre Dame can muck this game up, drag it into deep water, and then rely on Drew Aller in the fourth quarter to make a play.
Yeah, but relying on Penn State is not a good thing. I would say that the only thing different this year than in years past is their offense.
Yeah.
They have changed. This is not your grandpa's Penn State offense.
No.
It's just not. And I'm not saying it's the best in the tournament here because that's Ohio State, but that's the difference. I also read with Notre Dame, you were talking about their injuries. I read today that they have had three times this year their team leader in sacks mm-hmm. has gotten hurt.
Yeah.
And the last one being Riley Mills.
Yeah.
That is a huge, like that leads me to believe what you said. They, you know, they're just running out of dudes.
Yep.
It's just, and then if they fall behind,
yeah, they're
they're not coming back. No. Like that, they're not. So it's a one style game for them. Whereas I feel like Penn State is a little more dynamic.
Sure.
But again, you're right. Trusting James Franklin
Oof. That's, for a lot of people, that's a bridge too far.
So I heard something interesting from Franklin this week. I'm curious, Suk, your thoughts on it. They asked him about the offense getting bogged down specifically and whether Kotelniki was holding anything back. And he goes, no. I tell him when it's time to be aggressive and when it's time to be conservative. Is that pretty typical that the head coach is saying, give me something that's pushing it more or holding back more?
Yeah, welcome to Mario Cristobal. I mean, that was Cristobal the entire time when he was at Oregon. Absolutely, the head coach can make those determinations, even if it's not an offensive guy. He absolutely can tell him when.
It just feels kind of crazy when you've got this guy to cook up this wizardry type stuff, and then you're like, well, don't use any of that right now.
Penn State is Jekyll and Hyde. I go back, they had that, you know, four shots inside the 5-yard line against Ohio State to tie the game.
They're running their offensive tackle in motion a bunch of times.
What are you doing?
And weren't they up 14-0 in that game?
I think it was 10-0. They had a pick six and then and a field goal, I think.
And
you
know, lost.
And you're like, when they were playing Boise, dude, they were just running the ball down Boise's throat. And then out of nowhere, they were like, all right, we're not going to do that anymore. I don't have a lot of faith in Penn State. But you're right in that if you are Penn State, I think you have more ways to win this game, where Notre Dame does kind of get locked into that sort of box. And that's the part that scares me, is if they're down a back, and does eventually the dam just burst with injuries? And to be honest with you, your national champion is probably coming from the other side of the bracket anyways. I think Texas, and I've always thought that side of the bracket was going to win the whole thing. The other weird one is, think about James Franklin and just Notre Dame in general. Someone's narrative is finally going to burst, because Notre Dame, it's like, wake me when they do something in a big game. They finally beat Georgia, so that's starting to turn the tide. But to actually play for a national title, and then Penn State, it's the same thing. Penn State's been a good team. They haven't been a great team. There's potentially that finally one of these damn teams finally bursts through the glass ceiling.
Well, it's not potentially. One will.
One will. But I think Ohio State to bitch slap them.
I feel like it's going to be an Ohio State-Penn State rematch.
Yeah.
And that doesn't necessarily get my sports pants tight.
Well, the first one
does
was,
it you?
The first one was close, obviously, but I just, look.
Big Ten rematch?
Here's my thing. If Ohio State has really turned a corner, but here's something to remember. When's the last time you saw a college football team play 4 weeks in a row where they're just lights out? It's really hard to do.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what Ohio State, you're asking Ohio State to do.
Texas has.
But you'd be asking Penn State to do the same thing.
Yeah, but you know they didn't play. They didn't play lights out against against Oregon. Not on the defense side of the ball. They certainly didn't play lights out against Penn State.
Well, and come on,
against Boise State.
There's a difference between playing SMU, and Boise State, as opposed to playing Oregon, Texas, and then maybe Notre Dame or Penn State.
Ohio State is on some kind of heater, and
Tennessee,
and if they keep that up, no one's touching them. Texas isn't touching them. Neither one of these teams is touching them. So this comes down to, does Ohio State come back down to the pack? But also the one that if Jeremiah Love is healthy for Notre Dame and Riley Leonard, Penn State does not have a big physical defense. Penn State has an athletic defense and Carter and these guys, and they're smaller and they move around, and Notre Dame can bully them. Notre Dame can push them off the ball, and you can run the ball on this Penn State team. When you have an athletic defense that's attacking like that, the best thing you can do is just cram it down their throat. And Notre Dame does not have a problem playing that game. So I think if you're Penn State, you can't get in a rock fight. They did that against Ohio State. They're like, we're fine. We're going to play a game in the teens, and we're just going to be physical. Penn State needs to come out and be like, no, we are going to be aggressive from the get-go. We're going to play you sideline to sideline. We're going to take some vertical shots. We are not going to play in a phone booth. They need to force Notre Dame to play an athletic game. But if they get in a rock fight with Notre Dame, that's exactly what Notre Dame wants. Georgia tried it against them, and it didn't work.
Yeah, that's where
Georgia,
I think,
to 60 yards rushing.
That's where Kotelniki comes in, I think. I think that's a difference right there. And, you know, I go back to that Minnesota game, which is a weird reference, but Penn State, you know, James Franklin went for it on fourth down 3 times to seal that game, or they're not here.
Not including a fake punt.
So, you know, these guys learn over time. You know, I mean, he's probably prone to be more conservative, more Mario Cristobal-like, but he certainly hasn't been at times lately. And that's a big one.
Against Oregon, they were uber aggressive, including throwing, and when they were gashing Oregon, they threw the ball down the sideline.
Should be good.
Pick.
I think it should be good.
I'm excited for it. I want Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame would be a cool story, but if I'm being honest, the best championship game would probably be Penn State.
Penn State, Ohio State?
Well, Penn State, I just think you said Penn State's probably a more well-rounded team and a healthier team. So the better championship game would probably be Penn State versus Texas or or Ohio State.
What is the most interesting championship? Would it be Texas-Notre Dame just for nostalgic?
That'd be fun.
For nostalgia?
I'd like to see Notre Dame-Ohio State.
Yeah?
That's what I would like to see.
I mean, you have really big brands regardless at this point, so.
I feel like the best game would be Texas-Penn State.
I think that might be correct.
I think you're probably, as far as the actual, like, the game. Coin,
projecting it being close. Yeah.
Texas-Penn State
and
would
a lot
be
of
really
points.
Good.
I think I see some points in that game.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about Ohio State-Texas Friday, because we'll be back on Friday.
Yeah,
so
I just think this all comes down to, does Ohio State show up? Because if they do... Yeah.
Well, they'll show up.
Well...
But can Texas knock them off their game? They got some studs.
Does the Death Star show up? Because right now, that Death Star is fully operational. And boy, they ran two really good teams off the field in one quarter. Both of those games were over after one quarter.
All right. Coming up next is an open sports seggy. What would you like to hear? Choose your own adventure. Do you want to talk about badminton?
I don't...
Cycling? TGL?
I've got an old badminton rant in the system.
What?
From who?
Mary Carrillo.
What? About shuttlecocks?
Yeah, that's right.
How do you even know that?
Because it went viral many years ago. I want to say it was like the 2000 Olympics or something, and an event finished early, and she needed to like vamp for like 3 minutes to get to the next event, and she just started going off about badminton and all the things that happen at your house when you set up the badminton net.
I want to hear it.
I'm not going to lie. I'm intrigued.
This is why open seggies are good.
Badminton talk.
Hot badminton talk.
Your bingo card.
Next on The Fan. Before we get to the badminton rant that came out of nowhere.
Hot badminton talk.
The Blazers are beating the Pelicans by 25 points.
Well, the Pelicans really know how to tank.
Well, this was going to be my point. Why? Okay. So the Pels, if you don't know, have won 7 games.
Yes.
Now, they have had a lot of injuries, but I don't think at the start of the year anybody had them in the race to the bottom.
Not
they?
Even close.
Like, weren't they a playoff team?
No, they were, I think, more of a playoff team than a race to the bottom.
With Ingram and Siege and Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had a bunch of injuries. Okay. But are they just that much better at tanking than the Blazers? Or, like, are they really that bad? Because I can't, because Siege is out there.
Yeah, Siege is playing today.
And so is DeJounte Murray, who they traded for.
Yeah. So what's going on there? Is that a quality tank job?
I think it's pretty good. I mean,
so the players are in on it then?
It feels like everyone's in on it. No one's being rushed back. I mean, that's just you're out there that their will has officially been broken. The problem is the Blazers play too hard.
I know. Chance didn't get an extension.
No.
So he's like, "F you, I'm winning all the games I can."
You're a loser.
And here's the problem, too, is, like, even the Blazer fans, we can't properly handle a tank. Like, we lose, like, 4 or 5 games in a row and people freak out. You don't know what it's like to lose 10 in a row. You
We've
got
to bifurcate
like to 13
those two
in
things.
A row.
Well, the Blazers have tanked in the past.
Yeah, we don't fully... We don't
but tank, not a full...
We it, don't tank that well.
Not
here.
Like the Pels.
No.
That is one hell of a tank.
Yeah, it is.
Dude, hats off.
And I'm telling you, watch it. They'll get Cooper Flagg. And then, like, everyone will get healthy next year, and you'll look up, and, like, all of a sudden, they're rolling.
So do you think internally, every time Chance wins a game, they won at Milwaukee the other night.
Yeah, they did.
Do you think Joe Cronin's just up there cussing up a storm?
Yeah.
He's got to be.
It's the weirdest.
Good luck with the 9th pick.
It's the weirdest thing in the world to be, like, to
it's
be
so
upset
dumb.
That you're playing hard and you're winning.
Because now you're at the point where you're winning enough, you should be trying to improve the roster or something. Yeah, like you're,
it's
hilarious what's happening.
Boys,
quite frankly,
because you're just living in purgatory.
They
again.
Are going to end up in such mediocre hell. I was listening to Danny and Dusty today.
Get excited for the 9th overall pick.
And I mean, because like the new CBA, like Danny was talking about, the new CBA.
I think it's really
if you make more than $20 million a year, it's really hard to move you. And like he was talking that there may not be a bunch of movement, that you've got some guys that no one wants, and this like you may have to ride out Ayton, and you may have to ride out Jeremy Grant and some of these guys. And if that's the case, you're not going to be bad enough to fully tank. And you're like I said, you're picking 8th or 9th. You could be stuck in absolute mediocre hell waiting for Sharp and Ant and Scoot and some of these guys to develop into something, or Klingon in his 9 minutes a night. It's
well, I just want to know how the Pelicans how they approach this, because they're absolutely running circles around the Blazers for Cooper Flagg.
When it comes to the tank.
They're doing great at it.
They're losing by like 30
this is how
right
you
now.
Do
this
it.
This is how you do
it.
Yeah, Flags! You just have to find a way to crush their spirit. And I think when you've got fat Zion Williamson and like Brandon Ingram, who's just smoking a bunch of weed,
you just get guys that are all in it for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Not about the team. Yeah. Don't really care about winning.
We need more selfishness. We need more DeAndre Ayton is what we need. We need Diamond Ayton. We need that sort of, hey guys, it's kind of cold and my driveway's icy. I'm fine. We need more of that.
Yeah.
That's the spirit.
Yeah. Or lack thereof. We need some locker room cancers. Just some bad apples.
That's right.
Yeah.
Who is it? They don't really have one, do they?
No.
I mean, Ayton's probably the closest thing to it.
I'm looking here at the Pelicans. They went on a... I need to count this. They went 1, 2, 3...
How long's our badminton rant?
6, 7, 8, 9.
It's long. It's about 3 minutes.
Oh. Mm.
I mean, my God, when you look at their schedule and you look at some of the losing streaks, when you've only won 7 games, do you get some runs here of some L's and some horrible L's? I don't think the people of Portland could handle it. If we lost 15 in a row by like an average of 15 a night, people would lose their S.
And then they would somehow want the coach fired.
Yeah, we say we want to tank, but we can't handle it. Well, when Chauncey took the time off for the death in the family, who was the interim guy that they propped up? His name escapes me now.
I do not know.
But they threw the interim guy in there, and they won like 2 games in a row. And the fans were like, see? Like, that's not the point. That's not what you want. We are not capable of embracing the tank here in this town.
Well,
it's
so
problematic.
Who cares what the fans think? Yeah. Do what's right.
The players can't do it
get
either.
Get better players.
No, get worse players.
What?
We need worse players if you're going to embrace the tank.
No, I'm saying tank, and so you can get better players. Yeah. And who cares if the fans gripe about it?
Yeah.
Have some balls. Do something right.
You can't even lose right.
They can't do anything right.
Wait till the trade deadline comes and no moves are made. As we've been talking about this whole time about like assembling this roster of movable pieces. Wait till no one gets traded.
You know who I'm squarely behind? Chance.
Yeah.
I think they did him dirty.
Absolutely, he didn't sign up for this.
Exactly,
he came on with the idea that they were building something,
and he doesn't have an extension.
No,
so he's like, screw you, I'm going to coach my ass off. I don't even know if I'm coaching next year. I'm going to try to win as many games as I can. The organization's like, no, you're not. You watch me.
He didn't want to be here. He tried to leave.
So when do they fire him?
I don't think they will.
I bet they do. I bet they. Well, no, they're probably waiting. Wait till it expires.
Wait till it just goes away.
But that, I was thinking maybe they fire him down the stretch so they could lose more.
I don't think so.
But I don't think they have the balls to do that. They can't even do that right.
No.
God, what a joke.
So I said, all my buddies got mad at me for wanting them to lose. They don't get it. See? It's like, I'm telling you, we as a town do not have the mentality.
Well, again, who cares what the fans think?
They can't handle it, Rob.
Cares.
People drop it over in the streets.
Did the Blazers miss Neil Olshey?
We've got to bifurcate those two things.
I can't believe I had to ask that.
Hey, I'll tell you what, it was more interesting sound bites.
Guys, right, move on.
When's the last time Cronin gave us anything good for as far as a sound bite?
As far as I know, he's not even alive.
It's possible.
Does he have a pulse?
It's like an AI sort of thing. They're being run by AI.
We're going to bag him ball.
It's there whenever we need it.
Badminton lady. We're going to bag that. Mm-hmm. We're out of time. Okay? Okay.
Well, that's kind of evergreen since it was several years ago.
21, to be exact.
I have some plane news.
Hmm.
One plane that I want to ask you if they should have turned around, and another plane that had to turn around.
I've got animal uprising news.
All next on The Fan.